Listening Library presents The Future King by Robin Schneider. Read for you by Rosie Jones. For every reader searching for pieces of themselves in books, I hope you find what you're looking for in this one. Prologue. Morgana Le Fay staggered onto the shore of an unfamiliar world, her boots sinking into bone-coloured sand. Moments ago, she had been falling, not just in darkness, but in nothingness itself. And now she was here, in Anwen, the world beyond the stones, a world of endless possibility. She'd thought travelling through the stones would be like walking through a doorway, something you did. But it felt more like the doorway had walked through her. Dark spots danced in her vision, and she braced her hand against a stone column, fighting back a wave of dizziness. When the world stopped spinning, she looked around. She was at the edge of a forest, on a strip of narrow sand jutting into a dark and restless sea. A pale stone arch, identical to the one she had travelled through, stood tall and still, no longer swirling with the magic that had brought her here. The night sky was salted with hundreds of stars, all in strange new constellations. But the stars were nothing compared to the forest. It hummed and vibrated with life, and with magic. She could practically taste it in the air, tart and sweet on her tongue, like winter cherries. Ivory trees with black leaves stood tall and primordial, their branches beckoning. The leaves covered the forest floor in deep piles, as though it was autumn here, even though it had been summer back in London. Her hands were still stained with Arthur's blood. Only minutes had passed since their fight beneath St. Paul's. Somewhere in another world, the Prince of Camelot was dying, or perhaps already dead. She wiped her palms against her skirts, the damp sand sucking at her boots as she made her way toward the forest. Her breath came in clouds against the night air, and she shivered from the cold. "Ertu," she demanded, envisioning the warmth that would cover her like a coat. But no magic rose up to meet the command. Why isn't it working? When her naive half-brother had pressed Excalibur to her throat, she thought she was through. But he had hesitated, and she had seized the moment for herself. Where he was weakness, she was strength. All she had needed was a dagger and some nerve, and she had gotten exactly what she wanted. Anwen was real. Everything she'd dreamt of as a young girl at the convent, after she'd stopped dreaming her mother would come back for her, lay at her feet for the taking. "Kalor," she insisted, a variation on the same warming spell. But the power to shield herself from the icy winds was nowhere to be found. All around her, Anwen pulsed with magic, yet her own lay dormant. She tried again and again, calling for a flame, a spark, a pebble to change into flint. But nothing happened. No matter how many ways she summoned it, her magic wouldn't come. Chapter 1. Emery Merlin hurried through the dark London streets, cursing her good-for-nothing brother. Of course he'd pick a night like this to cause trouble. What had started as a tentative drizzle was now an enthusiastic downpour, and Emery shivered beneath her wet cloak as she squelched her way down the Strand. Half an hour ago, she'd been lying in bed reading a novel about love-crossed pirates. Then a castle guard had knocked on her door, concerned that Emmett still hadn't returned from the tavern. "I think something's wrong," Tristan had told her. He had this tortured look, like he was going off to do something reckless. But reckless shouldn't take 4 hours. No, it shouldn't. Emery had lowered her book and considered the young, frowning guard with a sigh. "Do you know which tavern?" He said he was headed to the Tipsy Merchant. She knew it, but only by reputation. The tavern was a haunt of the city's rougher types, petty criminals, labourers spoiling for a fight, and the occasional guard when they had coin to lose, and when they didn't, but couldn't help gambling anyway. I'm going after him. Tristan had blanched. By yourself? I'm a wizard. But you're also a lady, and it ain't safe down that way late at night. Emery had assured him that she'd taken precautions. And I have, she thought. Under her sodden cloak, she wore a boy's tunic and hose. Her dark hair, which fell just below her chin these days, was tucked beneath a hat. It was a hasty disguise, and one that wouldn't hold up on close inspection, but still. It was better than traipsing through the city, not to mention the mud, in skirts. As she walked, she considered creative ways to torment her brother if it turned out nothing was actually the matter. Death by a thousand parchment cuts was currently winning. Honestly, there was mud inside her boots. Emery drew her cloak tighter around her shoulders as a gust of cold air cut through the wet fabric. Between the late hour and the rain, London's streets were empty. The merchants' shops were boarded up for the night, and not even the vendors were out with their carts and wares. Even though she'd lived at the castle as herself for more than a month now, there hadn't been many opportunities to venture beyond its walls. The city still felt new to her, a living thing full of dangerous turns and secrets tucked into the shadows. But dangerous and secret were two things that had never intimidated her, and she wasn't going to let them start now. Especially since Tristan had called her a lady. She wasn't anything like the fashionable court ladies in their low-cut gowns who made pleasant conversation about the weather. But that's what she got for being the sole female apprentice at Castle Camelot, training to be the prince's own court wizard. Meanwhile, Emmett had settled in easily, strutting the corridors in his courtier's finest, nodding hello to every lad his age, and not bothering to magic away the telltale lady's perfume that often clung to his jacket. He had never needed to pretend to be anyone other than who he was, the great wizard Merlin's son and rightful heir. It was his unshakable confidence that so often led him to trouble, and it was Emery who so often got him out of it. Yet she was the one the king had placed on probation. Her cheeks burned with resentment when she thought about it. How King Uther had summoned her to his apartments 2 days after she and Arthur had nearly died at the hands of Morgana Le Fay. The king's icy glare as he'd accused her of encouraging Arthur to seek out life-threatening danger.
Since you share your father's talent for magic, you may remain an apprentice, for now.
The king had allowed, his eyes dark with malice.
But give me a reason, and you're gone.
She had gritted her teeth and mumbled that she understood, even though what she really understood was that she still hadn't proven herself, despite everything she'd done.
Remember your place, girl,
Uther had warned as she sank into a curtsy.
And stay the hell away from my son.
So she'd avoided Arthur in the corridors, pretending she didn't see his hurt and confusion when she accidentally met his gaze across the great hall. Pretending it didn't hurt her as well. Because she would do anything to keep studying magic. And that included marching halfway across London to either rescue or drill some sense into her foolish brother. If Emmett got himself dismissed from his apprenticeship, she worried the king would send her away too. There was no way King Uther would commit to the next court wizard being a woman. The Tipsy Merchant was down by the docks, in a rough-and-tumble part of the city where the half-timbered houses were pressed so tightly together and tilted so precariously forward with their oversized upper stories that the slender streets resembled tunnels. The tavern's roof was in desperate need of thatch, and the windowless exterior was more wattle and daub than wood. She paused on the front steps, cracking the tension from her neck as she gathered her magic and pushed back her hood.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?